Tonight, I'd like to invite you to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 11. Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 11.
Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 11 reads this way. It says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. And Lord, we do thank you again for the privilege of assembling together in your name. And then, Lord, once again, being reminded that where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. Lord, may we never forget your presence. And Lord, the power of your Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, that you would be highly exalted and lifted up, and our lives drawn closer to you and empowered for your honor and glory to be the witnesses you've called us to be. So bless your word, bless us, your people, Lord. Build Northwood for your honor and glory. Build all your churches. Give us revival, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is tucked in there in that verse that we just read now. It says, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. That's a good thing, isn't it? Let now thine ear, he's speaking to the Lord, be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. And we're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonderful truth is, you know, God never changes. Amen. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that great? God will never change. He is always approachable by his people. And here's a wonderful truth. God never changes, but he wants to change us. Amen? And so that's a blessing. So tonight we want to consider three thoughts here. And basically, it's answering the question, what kind of prayer gains the attentive ear of God? What kind of prayer gains the attentive ear of God? When somebody is attentive, that means they're tuning in, doesn't it? That means they're paying attention. You know, there are prayers that move the Lord to want to hear what people are saying. And so tonight we'll consider these three thoughts here. The kind of prayer that gains the attentive ear of the Lord is a concern for the glory of God in the people of God. A concern for the glory of God in the people of God. Number two, a call to God for his glory. We call upon the Lord for the glory of God to be in our lives. And then thirdly, the fulfillment of God's contingency plan. God has a contingency plan when things don't seem to go right. And basically, a contingency plan is a proactive strategy that helps in case God's people, or it helps God's people to receive God's promises, right? So if we've gone off track, God says, listen, I've got a contingency plan, and we'll see that here in just a moment, so that I can fulfill, God speaking, he wants to fulfill his promises in our lives. So back up with me, if you will, to verse 1. And the first kind of prayer that gains the attentive ear of the Lord is a concern for the glory of God in the people of God. And you know, really, there's nothing new under the sun. Isn't that a Bible truth? Nothing new under the sun. So God's people are the same. We live in different ages, but God's people are the same. And again, as we mentioned earlier, God never changes, and we're thankful for that because we need the mercy of God and the love of God in our lives. So look with me, if you will, in verse 1. And what we find here in the life of Nehemiah, verse 1 reveals that he was a man of integrity, or we would say moral uprightness and trust, right? Look at verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu in the 20th year as I was in Shushan the palace. Now, all he's saying was that he was in the palace. He was obviously close to the king. We don't find out that he was the king's cupbearer until verse 11. And by the way, listen, the cupbearer was the one that tasted everything that the king drank. And he was trusted to look out for the king's well-being. So he was not just anybody. He was somebody that the king had faith in, that he would look out for him and keep him safe. And so he was a man of good integrity, moral uprightness. And then we find here what it says here in verse 2, Nehemiah was a man of godly compassion and love for God's people. Look at verse 2. And Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. He didn't think about anything else. The first thing he wanted to ask was, how were his people doing? How were the people of the Lord faring? What was their condition? Where are they at? Because they had been freed from captivity. Ezra was the first one to lead that out. And it's some probably 14 years later, and there's some struggling going on. And he didn't know about it, but he's getting ready to be informed here. And so he was concerned, and he asks, how are his people doing? Verse 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction. That was news to Nehemiah. So they're in great affliction and reproach. Listen to this. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So he was concerned for the well-being of the people and also for the construction that was supposed to be taking place in Jerusalem. You know, God is a builder. Amen? Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world as a carpenter, didn't he? God is a builder. God's about not just building physical things, but building spiritual things, building our lives, spiritually speaking. So God is wanting to build our lives if we'll have it. Amen. God's not going to force, but God wants us to know that he is a builder. And one of the things that we need to be concerned about if we want God to build in our lives is that we're concerned about it. By the way, the Lord said, I will build my what? I'll build my church. I'll build my house. He did say that. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Isn't that what the Lord said? So God is concerned about building his church. And you and I, listen, let's not get comfortable. Listen, he was in Shushan the palace. He had a good life. Things were going well, but listen what happens when the news comes in that things are not going in the right direction. And by the way, listen, it's important for you and I, as part of the body of Christ here at Northwood Baptist Church, that we see souls saved. Amen? It's not healthy for us not to have souls being saved. We want God to be working. And who does he want to work through? He wants to work through us. And so Lord, and by the way, fathom this thought. God is not looking to you or myself to be a salesman. He's not looking for us to be some kind of have some kind of finesse to be a smooth talker, and we're going to talk all kinds of people into eternal. That's not going to happen. God will work, and listen, you might say, but you don't understand. I stumble over my words sometimes. Join the club, amen? Join the club. And here's the whole thing. Do you know that God can use the weak things to glorify himself? In fact, do you know that's his choice? To use the weak things? And by the way, if you think, well, I'm not that strong, I'm not that good, I don't know that I can do that, you are the candidate. Amen? You are the prime one God wants to use, because the moment he uses us in sharing the gospel and getting nervous while we're sharing the gospel and maybe even tripping up a little bit, and that person say, yes, I would like to be saved, and then they trust the Lord and they thank you and they say, praise the Lord that you told me about Jesus Christ. Hey, who'll get the glory? We'll say, thank you, Lord. Well, because I could have never done that. But God can do it. But listen, God needs to give us the understanding and the boldness. That's his plan for your life and mine. And may we, listen, understand, we don't have to be a special individual with special talents. It will be God, or it won't happen at all. Amen. It will be the Lord that will do that work. And here's the plan. It is God's will that he uses us to tell others about the Lord. Amen. But listen, if we're not careful, the flesh will frighten us. Satan definitely doesn't want us to tell anybody, and the world for sure is against it. But listen, are we going to listen to ourselves? Are we going to listen to the world or Satan? Or are we going to listen to what the Lord is saying? He said, you're going to be endued with power from on high when the Holy Spirit indwells you. And if you're a saved child of God, guess what you're indwelt with? The Holy Spirit. So we have already been equipped. All we have to do is trust the Lord to use us. Amen? Listen, let me just tell you something about faith. There's no feeling sometimes about it. Amen? There's no feeling. Let me tell you the kind of feeling I got, okay? I'm afraid of heights. And I put my faith and trust in the ladder to hold me. And I'm going up about 20 feet high. I kid you not. It's one of these long extension ladders. And I'll tell you where it was. We were doing a roofing job, and it may have been even larger than 20 feet, but it was down in Herman, Missouri, and it was this building that had a flat top. We were re-roofing it. I was engaged to be married, wasn't even married yet, and anyway, it was on a hill. They gave me a 5-gallon bucket full of tools, and I got in the middle of that ladder, and I had faith in it. You know what that ladder started to do? It was, yeah, but you know what the truth was? It wasn't really the ladder that was shaking. You know who was shaking? It was me that was shaking. And you know what? I thought to myself, this is not going to look good if I go back down. I'm already in the middle. Might as well keep going, right? So I get up there, and then one of the roofers said to me, now that, remember, I told you it was on a hill, right? They put the ladder up there. And the roofer, once I got up there, I said, I thought I was the first one. How'd you get up there? He said, well, if you walked around the building, you would have only had to gone like one flight. And you'd have just been right up on the roof with me. And I thought, wonderful. I'll look next time. Amen. But here's the whole thing. Listen, we go by faith, trusting not ourselves, but the Lord. And so notice he's concerned here about his people, and look what it says here in verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I forgot all about it. I just went on my merry way. I had my own life to live. I have my own plans to live and plan out. No, that I sat down and what? I wept. You know what? Listen, he that goeth bearing precious seed and weepeth. Amen? You know, we need to have compassion for the souls that are slipping out into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I sat down and wept, verse 4, and mourned, listen to this, for about 5 minutes. What does it say there? Certain days. And fasted. And prayed before the God of heaven. Listen. That is not rocket science. Find you some time. Oh, you don't know, Brother George. You don't know my time. Listen, we have the time to do what we want to do. Amen. Right? How many, don't have to raise your hand for this. How many of you had something going on, and whether it was a trip or whatever, and you got up in the wee hours of the night, 2 o'clock? 3 o'clock in the morning, because you had a destination. Amen? You had a destination. You had a plan, and you were going to see that it was going to be fulfilled. And you know what? Listen, God has a plan for your life and mine. And if we will just give him whatever more you want to give him than what you're giving him now. You might say, well, listen, I pray throughout the day. Wonderful. But did you see what he did? He set apart certain days. It would be good for us to set apart some time in the morning, because you know how the day goes. It flies. Before you know it, you're saying, where did it go? Do you know tomorrow is May 1st? Where did April go? It will fly. But if we will give God 10, 15 minutes early, Lord, bless Northwood Baptist Church with souls. I'm praying to you, the Lord of the harvest, to send forth more laborers into your harvest. And I believe that those laborers that he wants to send is us.
Amen.
Lord, use me, show me how to, because you know what? Listen, we ought to be weeping for the souls of mankind. And I will tell you, and you know it, but both, Columbia is a hard city to reach. They've got hard hearts and they've got some ideas, but our God is greater than the hardest of hearts. If we'll just call upon him. By the way, you heard the ruined here, and the gate was burned with fire. It was a mess. And so notice he says that he sat down and wept in verse 4 and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Do you know what the Bible is telling us? Do you know what the Word of God is saying? This is the recipe. These are the instructions. Listen, if we will do that, will God fail us?
No.
Then if it's not working, maybe we're failing God. But that might be the case. So He had a concern for the glory of God in the people of God. And God has a concern for us, for his glory to shine forth. Secondly, the kind of prayer that gains the attentive ear of God is a call to God for his glory. Look at verse 5. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy. That's the glory of the Lord. For them that love him and observe his commandments. Did you see that? Listen, I don't want to just, you know, God, I need you to keep the commandments. I don't want to be a mediocre status quo Christian. Do you? I want to be a victorious one. Listen, if you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, we have to be victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't settle for mediocrity. We can't settle for the status quo. We can't settle for failure when God has given us victory. And so, verse 6, let thine ear now, did you see what he said to him? You're the God, you're the great and terrible God. You're the one that keeps the covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes. And by the way, remember what he did. He mourned certain days, he fasted, and he prayed before the God of heaven. And now he's saying, Lord, I'm asking you to hear what I'm saying. Verse 6, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now for a few moments. For one day, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, listen, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. He says, I'm going to lay it all out for you, Lord. I want to walk upright with you. Remember, I beseech thee, the word, verse 8, that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad amongst the nations. And guess what happened? They got scattered. God, listen, God will not bless a people that's not right with the Lord. You know what? Listen, we can look here, we can look there, we can look everywhere, but you know where we need to be looking at? Right in the mirror. Right in the mirror, because God says, the only one I'm concerned about in your life is you. Amen. The only one that God's concerned about in my life is me. Does God want us to be looking at, well, now, if they were doing this and if they were doing that, is that what God wants us to do? No. You know what God's concerned about? Us. God wants us to be looking at ourselves and saying, Lord, make me the vessel that will honor and glorify you. I need you, God. That's what he's saying here. He's laying it all out on the table here. Last thought. Verses 9 and 11, and that is the fulfillment of God's contingency plan. Remember, the contingency plan is a proactive strategy that helps, in this case, God's people to receive God's promises. So here's the contingency plan, verse 9. But if, remember, if you take the medicine, if it's good medicine, it's a good doctor, if you take the medicine, you're going to get better, right? But if you don't, you won't. So, but if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments... Now, don't look to yourselves and say, I'll never keep the commandments. Me either. But stronger is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen. And that's the faith part. Lord, today, Lord, I'm asking you to fill me with your spirit, to honor and glorify you. And so, therefore, I have requested it. You have heard my prayer. It's your will. Done. And I'm going to walk in that truth. Am I going to be double-minded? The Bible says a double-minded is unstable in how many of his ways? All his ways. We either believe the Lord or we don't. And if we have doubts, Lord, give me the confidence to put my trust in you completely. But if you turn to me and keep my commandments and do them, though, listen, there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them. Listen, if you've been defeated to the uttermost, God says, I'll gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. That's God's will for all of us. Verse 10. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy what? Whose power? How big is his power? It's great power, isn't it? Now, so notice what he says. Now these are, verse 10 again, these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy what? Strong hand. Are we not in the Lord's hands? And can he not enable us to do his will? That's who we need to look to. Now with all that understanding, verse 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear, did you hear what he called upon the Lord to do? That's what we need to call the Lord to do in our lives. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now, because of all that he has done here, because he mourned about the defeat, he fasted and he was praying before the Lord. And he says, now, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants. Notice, who desire to fear thy name. That means to honor him, to reverence him, to respect him. Is this reverencing the Lord? Well, I know the Lord said don't do that, but you know, I'm human. I'm just going to do it anyway because I can't help myself. Does that honor the Lord? Is that the light of the world?
No.
The world looks at that and says, pee you. Yeah. They hold their nose and say, that stinks. Keep it. Again, verse 11, and we're done. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants. Which ones? Who desire to fear thy name. Those are the ones God's going to hear. To desire, listen, and how much of our life do we want to fear the Lord? Not 99.9? 100% in everything. And when I fail the Lord, I'm going to bring that failure to the Lord and say, God, fix it for your glory. I am not going to accept defeat. I am not going to compromise when God says it's sin and excuse myself. I'm going to be honest with the Lord and honest with myself. God sees it anyway. And we say, Lord, we need you. So again, and we're done. Ready? O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And what? I want to prosper spiritually, don't you? I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. And he's talking about King Artaxerxes, excuse me. But he's talking about standing before King Artaxerxes. And by the way, you're not supposed to be downcast before the king. So this was going to be something that he's going to encounter. And if you're familiar with the story, God blessed. God answered his prayer, and he got the petition. You know what? Listen. God will hear us also and answer our petition. Is it the will of God that souls be saved? Is it the will of God for you and I to be the light of the world, to tell people and for them to be saved? Not by our might, but by the Lord's strong arm. Amen. The Lord's strong hand, he will cause it to come to pass. So, Lord, give us that heart and give us that desire to call upon you with the petitions that you have for us, that you might be attentive to the prayer of us, your servants. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne. We do thank you, Lord, again for the privilege of assembling together. Now as we break off for prayer, bless and build Northwood, Lord. Show us, Lord, your way, your will, and your power that you've given to us, Lord, for your glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.